Welcome to the Real Vintage Podcast with your host, Stephen Cox. On today's episode,
I don't drive anything other than a Jeep. It's not some new fad. I've had this since I guess I was born. Mom could not get to the hospital. My dad had a 70 model Chevelle.
All that and more coming up next.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Stephen Cox here on the Real Vintage Podcast, and we're so delighted to have all of our listeners and those that download the episodes tuned in. And we got an exciting episode today. We are discussing kind of starting a new, a new thought on some podcast about advice for some young ministry leaders. And I've in recent days had several, just contact me. I'd say four or five different men, young guys going into the ministry or already in the ministry that have been inquiring, asking questions, doors of opportunity have opened, and just sometimes advice, some things that I think that would be very helpful, maybe down the road or maybe where you're currently in. And so I wanted to share some thoughts that I had about advice for young ministry leaders. This is anybody that may be going into the pastorate, assistant pastor, youth pastor, any type of administrative pastor role, or maybe into missions, though I've never been a missionary before as far as on the foreign field or even a church planner. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but still, it's the ministry, it's the calling of God, and then evangelism, one that I feel like personally that men that God's still calling, he's still putting his call on people, but I feel like we are not answering the call. And so those are just some things that I'm going to talk about here on the Real Vintage Podcast for today. I do want to thank you for tuning in. It's always a blessing to have new listeners. And like I said, the last few episodes have gained some momentum and new listeners. I've had some folks say, hey, I found your podcast, and that's pretty awesome. And so keep that liking, sharing, commenting, messaging. Honestly, that keeps us going. It just, people are listening, and it encourages us greatly. Well, some news. I've got some wonderful news personally. I bought my wife. We traded in our GMC Yukon, which had been a very, very good, it was a Denali edition. It was very luxurious. My wife, man, she needed that to, in style, needed to, she'd had that for two or three years, and it'd been a great vehicle. And she's a realtor, so she's on the road a lot. And I like something that's going to be dependable and something that rides pretty good. At least that's the way we used to think. And the dependability part, I feel like we did good. But the smooth ride, we might have maybe gave a little for the, we put her in a Jeep Rubicon. And brand new. It's nice. I've actually now, this is our third Jeep in the family right now. We've got a Jeep Wrangler, which is a 2001 TJ. It has 198,000 on it. That is, I call it the beast. It's got a 4-inch rough country lift. I take it off road in. I'll take it on trails. I mean, I don't beat it, but we have fun in it. I mean, we take the doors off and we'll go through places where you probably shouldn't go. And but we like to get it muddy, like to get it wet, and we like to climb stuff. It's got big tires on it and 35s, and we just like to have fun in it. So it's a beater, but we kind of take care of it. The interior is really nice. And that's a 2001 Wrangler and Sahara edition. And then I have the Gladiator, the 2020 Gladiator I bought about a year and a half ago. Love it. Got some exciting stuff, planned for it. New wheels, tires, RSI, smart cap, and overlanding gear, and some new bumpers and stuff we got, planned for it. So then my wife had talked, we were on that mileage break. There's a mileage break there. Once you cross over that mileage threshold, the value of your vehicles go down. And so we were right there at it. She drives a lot. And we were just discussing what type of vehicle that she would, look good in, enjoy. And she had never really considered herself a Jeep girl, though we've had, this is our sixth Jeep. We just were just thinking, and I said, well, honey, you'll never know unless you go and drive one of these new Jeeps. So we did. And make a long story short, we went up, and man, they honestly, the inventory right now is down dramatically. Just there's all kinds of different reasons, but Jeeps are flying off the shelf. It's hard to get one right now. So we found one and we loved it. It was a gray Rubicon, just nice. And she absolutely hard top. She loves it. And so, you know, just man, every time I get in a vehicle, no matter what, I'm in a Jeep. Just think about that. I don't drive anything other than a Jeep. And that's pretty cool. Somebody asked me about maybe where my love for Jeeps came from. So just to touch on this for a minute, when the night I was born, all right, so I was born in Beckley, West Virginia. My dad was, that's where I'm from, born there. The night I was born, my mom told me there was 3 feet of snow. A terrible blizzard came through West Virginia, or just a big snow. I mean, it was almost 3 feet of snow. March 2nd, 1980, mom could not get to the hospital. My dad had a 70 model Chevelle and had mom had something else, two cars, you know, rear wheel drive. So they wasn't going to be very good on the snow. And mom was, she was in labor and she needed to get to the hospital. So my dad had a friend who had a 77 model CJ. And my dad got my mom in that CJ Jeep and took my mom to the hospital. And that night, my mom delivered me to the world. And I've always told people that I got my love for Jeeps because I was literally brought in delivery. Some people brought, you know, the different things. I've been brought to a Jeep. So my mom swears that's where I got my love for Jeeps. And well, then out of college, I could finally afford one. So I bought one right out of college. And then since then, I've had two others. I've had a Willys. I've had a YJ, which is late 80s, which is a cool Jeep. I've had them all. My fascination with them has just always been just a love. Like some people love different automobiles, different trucks, different things, but I just love Jeeps. So it's not some new fad. I've had this since I guess I was born. I think I was born with a love for Jeeps, and that's pretty cool too. So some of you didn't know that. And my mom says, I've always talked about them. I've always loved them. I think it's really cool that you can just pop the doors and the tops off and go down the road. They're great in the mountains. They're great at the beach. They're great on a trail. And they don't lose their value. They're one of the only cars or vehicles that the moment you drive it off the lot, the value holds the same. You could turn right around and sell it and almost make your money back. That is very rare for cars of any kind. And so that's cool. But my wife's driving a really cool matte gray Rubicon. And so if you see it, honk your horn or do the Jeep wave, one of those things. I want to give you some, as I said earlier, give you some advice for young ministry leaders on the podcast. I appreciate the youthfulness. There's a lot of guys that reach out to me, much younger than I, that listen to the podcast. And I want to give them some advice on ministry leaders. What does it mean to be called to the ministry? I want to give you just 10 things that I just jotted down in my thoughts about what's important to be in ministry. The first thing is this: you must understand your calling. Understand your calling. You know, your calling is from God, and the calling of God is without repentance. So God is not going to change his mind about calling you, and I'm thankful for that, because if God could change his mind, then he probably would have changed his mind with me. He calls you with a holy calling. It is a calling that has been in his mind since the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. He called you, had you in mind, had a special purpose for you. That's a pretty awesome thought. With God calling us to the ministry, some guys look at it like, you know, that it's maybe that some preacher called a guy, or maybe we've heard the term mama called or daddy called or whatever. Those are legit things. I really believe that preachers have called other young preachers to the ministry. Oh, a guy gets on fire for the Lord in his church. He's got a personality. Maybe he's got some a gift of speaking, we automatically think this guy's called to preach. And so we sent him off to some Bible college or seminary or whatever. And that guy was never really called. He was just on fire for the Lord. A calling is one that you cannot run from. Now, you can try. We've seen some examples of that in the Bible. I've seen some personal examples of that in just life. There's been men I know, no doubt, it seemed to me that they had the calling of God on them, though I don't know for sure. Only they would know that. But it seemed like to me they ran. There's one in particular, young man, that he told me years later. He's very successful in the business world, but he told me years later, he said, "Pastor, I was called to ministry as a young man, but I ran from the Lord." And he said, I've always regretted not answering that call or not going through with my calling. Understand your calling. It is a great calling. There is no calling. There's no career path greater than that of God's called servant, a pastor, a preacher, a missionary, an evangelist. No calling at all. Greater. So understand your calling. It's a call from God. And even if your dad's a preacher, doesn't necessarily mean you're a preacher. I don't believe that. I believe that it's something that God will let you know. And I believe the reason we have such a high dropout rate in ministry is because we've called men instead of God called men. And so we got to be very careful about that. The second thing, some advice, is get some good training. Get some good training. So what I mean by that is you need to be in some type of Bible school, Bible college. There's some good ones. And I'm not just talking about, you know, I know everybody's got Bible colleges, and I'm not talking about a particular Bible college. We don't send our kids to a particular Bible college. Matter of fact, in the 5 years I've been pastor here, there was one already in college when I got here, and we've maybe had three or four more go to Bible college. I'm for it. Hey, go. If God's called you, go, please. I think it's wonderful, but we don't send our kids to a particular Bible college. We have several right now in Pensacola Christian College, and that's a good place. Several young ladies. We have a young man that his family has joined the church, but he was already previously going to college before they came here. We have a lot of Bob Jones University students and a lot of Bob Jones graduates that attend our church, or members, even a few staff. But we don't even put, even though they're 10 minutes from our church, we don't put a pressure on anybody to attend any Bible college or university or seminary unless we know for sure that the calling of God is on their life. If a young man were to come to me and said, "Pastor, I feel that the Lord has called me to preach," I would, just counsel him several times and let him really, you know, we'll pray about it, then we'll think it through, and then of course we'll then find a place where he can train. Now, I am a very strong local church pastor, so I believe the greatest place that a young person can learn ministry is under the preaching and the pastoral leadership of their home church. There's no Bible college that can do what the local church can do. No Bible college. So I'm not saying that there's not some good Bible colleges ran by local churches, but your pastor knows you. He's been there for you. He prays for you. He knows your family. And I think it's great when a local church has a Bible Institute if you're going into ministry. But I highly recommend something with a great depth of theological training. Well, I mean, you're going to need Bible. You're going to need ministry. We got a lot of ministries, or at least some growing ministries here at our church, but you're going to need some theology. That's where a lot of men are very malnourished, is in the theology. So get some good training. Wherever that is, make sure you talk to your pastor about it, and talk to your parents, and really bathe that in prayer, but get some training. My dad is a great example. He was called into ministry and didn't know that there was a Bible college, that he never heard of Bible college before. He just had a local church pastor by the name of Frank Pittman, a great man. That was his preacher. he went everywhere with Pastor Frank, everywhere. I'm talking about hospital visits, in-home visits, soul winning, special services, different things. And my dad learned so much just hanging out with his pastor. And then, of course, studying the Bible. And my dad's been in the ministry now for over 40 years, knows the Word of God, and has navigated a wonderful church through really scores, almost 40 years at the same church, of years faithfully serving and preaching the Word of God. Never went a day to Bible school. But he always says this, and I've heard him say this literally tens to 20s, 30, maybe 40 times in his preaching in my lifetime. I've heard him say, you young men, if you're called to ministry, get some training. I wish I would have gotten some training. Now, I feel like it probably would have messed my dad up. My dad is unique, and he's a pioneer. He's a maverick. He's old school, and I love the way he is now. I can't imagine my dad any way other than way he is now. But he still tells men to get some training, and I believe that with all my heart. Whether it be online, there's some great places online you can do and still remain in your church. Number three, have a prayer life. Have a fervent prayer life, meaning that you have a time that you spend with God, and that is so important. Now, these other things, they'll work themselves out a lot of times, but if you're not praying and spending time with God, and I mean begging Him for His power, begging Him for His blessings, begging Him for doors to open and shut and different things, then listen, you're operating in the flesh, I feel. And a lot of times the key element to a young man's life missing, and a young lady's life, is a prayer life. It's missing. Number four, make sure you marry right. Marry right. You know, we've got so many even young men in our church and singles. We started a singles class almost a year ago, September. It's grown leaps and bounds, and now we're having some of those people meet and marry, and pretty awesome to watch. But one thing that I really try to instill in these young people, and it is that they find the right person and that they marry. You can have all the training, you can have all the, boy, that you can be a part of a good church, you can have just all the seminary training and degrees and theological background, and just read and be teachable and all these things. But if you marry wrong, it can mess everything up, because if you marry someone that is not ministry minded, or at least doesn't want to be submissive and wants to serve the Lord, then all that stuff is going to be a struggle. And I've seen it happen before. And just make sure you marry who God wants you to marry. Marry right. Marry in God's will. If you have to wait a few extra years, do it. But please don't over jump and try to get, you know, somebody just because everybody else is getting married. Marry right. How about number five? Be teachable. Be teachable. This is one thing that you know, guys are missing today, especially straight out of, maybe they've gotten their training, but when you come and they start interning or start working at a place, you can't teach them. They feel like they've already, you know, they know something at 22, 23, and they won't be teachable. Be teachable. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're 23, 33, or 43, be teachable. If we're always in a learning phase. There's things right now as a pastor that I'm learning that I've never dealt with before, and I need to be teachable. I'm calling older men. What do I do? Be teachable. Be humble. You have to humble yourself sometimes and just be a student, and we're always going to be that. Number six, lose the entitlement attitude. So with being teachable, the reason that a lot of guys are not teachable is because they're entitled. They feel entitled. That is a generation that I fear is coming, where everything's been kind of handed to them. We used to call it a silver spoon in their mouth. That's kind of the old term. But it is. It's an entitled attitude. They've had everything given to them. They grew up in a good church. They grew up with everything already kind of gifted to them. Their last name. So, for instance, you know, last name is Cox. Well, my dad paved the way, and he came from a home where alcohol and no God. And man, he just came out of there. God obviously chose him for the ministry, saved him by his grace, had a purpose for his life. And my dad came out of an alcoholic's home and started serving the Lord and trying to win my grandpa to Christ for many years. My grandpa's saved now, but he didn't get saved till he was older in life. My dad withstood some things and stood for God in a public school, met my mother, led her to Christ. And then, of course, he went and just started preaching, and a church called him to pastor, and then rest is history. Well, I reaped the benefit of that. By the time I was born, my dad was pastoring, or he pastored the year I was born, first started. And then God moved him out of West Virginia to North Carolina, and of course, he's been there for many years. And by the time that I became a teenager, and I was, you know, everybody knew who Daryl Cox was, and the church was large and had a Christian school and things that had developed. Well, then everybody knew when I went to Bible college who my daddy was. He was preaching in conferences, and of course I had that last name. And if you're not careful, that name follows you. And, oh, it's a good name. It's a godly heritage. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of my father. I'm proud of how the Lord has used him in my life and used him across this country. But if I'm not careful, I'll expect that. And I'll walk around expecting everybody to treat me like I've accomplished something. And there's a lot of guys, because they carry the last name of their fathers or their grandfathers, or maybe they went to church here, they went there, that they just expect the world to bow and people to just to bend over and backwards to help them. And listen, that's called entitlement. And man, work hard. And yeah, be proud of who God has placed you in the family, your physical family and your spiritual family. Hey, there's nothing to be hang your head about. That's wonderful. But earn your way. Earn your keep. Nothing was given to me. Matter of fact, when I graduated college, I worked at Cracker Barrel for 2 years. I got paid $100 a week by the church to mow the grass, and $100 a week for 2 years. I was getting married. I was not considered a staff person. I worked waiting tables at Cracker Barrel like I did through Bible college. Dad said, well, if you did that in Bible college, you can do that after Bible college, so you get married. He was watching me. He was testing me. He wanted to make sure the church was not just watching the son get this free ride. He wanted me to earn my way. And in a lot of ways I did. Now, I probably could have had even harder. He could have been probably harder on me and been better for me. But he did not just give me these things. And learn not to be entitled and to have that attitude, entitlement attitude. That just stinks in the nostrils of most people. Number 7, learn to read good theological books early. What I mean by that is start out in your younger years reading books that is heavy in theology, and learn to love theology, good doctrine. Yeah, it's good to read, and I tell guys, read. Man, readers are leaders. They really are. But make sure you're reading good stuff. And I love to read after the old Puritan preachers. I love to read after, of course, Charles Spurgeon. I love to read after, I'm just looking at I'll just give you some examples. So right now I'm looking at my bookshelf and I see Spurgeon. I see Donald Barnhouse. He wrote some of the greatest commentaries on the book of Romans. Warren Wiersbe. I'm a Warren Wiersbe fan. I love everything he wrote. And, you know, I'm just looking at different ones here that I see on my bookshelf Alexander McLaren. I've got the whole set that Alexander McLaren, J. Sidlow Baxter, different ones there that I can see. Some I can't make out who that is. But, you know, James Stewart, oh my goodness, James Stewart, what a great, great man he was. Different ones here that I would say that's heavy in theology, and get under some of these men. And as far as their books, them men that I mentioned are dead. They've been dead for many years, but their life is still living by reading their books, and learn to do that and love theology. Number 8, I'm almost done. Find and follow seasoned preachers for their depth of ministry, not their flamboyance. So follow some men that are currently alive today and follow their ministry for its depth and not for the flamboyance. There's a lot of flamboyance. So not everything that shines is good, right? And a lot of times we're attracted by the flamboyant personality. We're attracted by all the lights. We're attracted by all the things, the glimmer and the glamour. And we're attracted by all those things. But let me tell you, I want to be around a man whose roots are dug in deep. I want to be around a man who is solid. And he's been around for a while, and he's going to be around for a while. And to find and follow seasoned preachers, all right? So read after them, listen to their podcast, watch them on YouTube, whatever. It'll help you. Learn to serve, number 9, right away. So do the little things. Listen, I would not hire a guy who would not be willing to clean up a mess. I just wouldn't. And I don't know any preacher that would. I mean, if you're truly serious about who you hire and who helps you at your church, I would not have a guy who thought he's too big to do a little job. So I'm talking about cleaning toilets. I'm talking about sweeping a floor. I'm talking about wiping mud off a wall. I'm talking about walking across a parking lot, picking up pieces of trash. I'm not talking about helping a little kid to a classroom. I'm talking about anything that you say, oh, that's too below me. No, learn to serve right away and do the little things. Little things are what makes a big deal. Number 10, pray for doors to be open and closed. So if you're young and you're just, I'm just sitting here and I feel like, you know, pray for God to open a door. And then sometimes there'll be things that presents itself that it looks like it's God. And then you better pray, hey, God, if it's not your will, shut this door. And if you don't, then go through it and walk out, launch out by faith. But hey, not every door that opens is from God. You do know that. Make sure that God, he's the one opening the doors. Number 11, and this is the one that I call extra credit. Be you. So be you. Be who God made you to be. So it may take you a while to figure out all that stuff, figure out, you know, who you are, really. Who I am today, though I believe mostly the same as I did when I started out. I'm not the same person, and neither are you. Most of the guys that I'm friends with are not the same preachers they were 20 years ago. Hopefully you're better. Hopefully you've learned. Hopefully you've grew. And, you know, some guys will text me or they'll be harsh on social media and they'll say, hey, man, you've changed. Well, I hope I have. Hope I've changed for the better. Not changed in morals. Not changed in doctrine, most certainly. I don't want to do that. But I have changed. I've changed because God has grew me as a person. Who couldn't pastor 5 years and not change? I've changed in a positive way. I love people more today than I ever have. I love families more than I ever have. I love Jesus today more than I ever have. I hope I've changed. Don't be afraid of change. You know, everybody uses the verses, meddle not with them that are given to change and all that, and they've taken that verse so out of context. Listen, be who God made you to be. Don't be afraid to change, but change toward God and not away from God. Change toward his word and not away from his word. Don't be afraid of change. Change is good. If a baby stayed the same, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? We don't want babies to stay the same. If you're changing a man's diaper at 25, that's weird, all right, unless there's something medically wrong. We want to change for the positive. And there's some of you that are 25, 30, 35 years old that you're waiting for God to do something. But hey, listen, be you. Don't go around trying to be another preacher, trying to be something that God did not make you. It may take you a little while. It took me a while to figure out who I am. I finally did. 2016, I had to. Just be you. Nobody has it all together. So the guy you're watching on YouTube, the guy you're listening to right now on the podcast, the guy that you love to download and listen to all his messages, he don't have it together either. So you see it and hear it and you see, oh man, that's it. I want to be just like that. Hey, how about you just want to be who God made you to be? Nothing wrong with looking out for other men. Nothing wrong with having some heroes, of course, but be who God made you to be. This is just a little bit of advice, and we're going to expound on this in another podcast, but these are some things that I wish I would have been told starting out. These are some things that I wish that I would have knew when I started in full-time ministry back in 2003 or four. And now, after all these years, I've finally comfortable in my own skin and finally found who God made me to be just a few years ago. And it feels great. And I love it. I love where God has me. I love our people. And I can honestly say I love Jesus more today than I ever have. And if you can say that, that's a great place to be. That's a good feeling. Man, that's a great thing. But maybe you're still trying to figure that out. If that's the case, then shoot us a message. I'd love to talk to you. And that's my heart. I love to help young pastors, young preachers, young ministry students. And share this, like it. Next time we'll be on some more. If you hear some of the sound, we're in the week of VBS. So we've got kids everywhere this week. I'm currently wearing my VBS shirt, and I love this week. God bless you. Pray for us, and we look forward to the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Real Vintage Podcast. You can connect with us through social media at facebook.com/realvintagepodcast or Instagram at realvintagepodcast or even Twitter at real_vintage. Also, feel free to email us at realvintagepodcast@gmail.com. And again, thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for another episode next week. God bless.